This is a Brutwood production of an Engineering is Elementary story.
When you hear the harp, turn the page.
A Reminder for Emily, an Electrical Engineering Story, read by Alejandro Ramirez. Chapter 1. Visiting the Sheep. Bessie, come here, girl. I caught our biggest sheep over the side of the pen. I didn't want to say hi to Bessie, but what I really wanted was for her new baby lamb, Molly, to follow her. Bessie trotted over and Molly came behind, wiggling a bit of her tiny, thin legs. I reached down to stroke Molly's soft wool. Look how beautiful you are, I said. Bessie bleated at me. You too, Bessie. You look lovely as a new mom. Actually, Bessie was more of an old mom than a new mom. Bessie, our station, that ranch that we lived almost 6 years ago when I was just a little girl. In that time, she had lots of lambs, but Molly was one of my favorites. I glanced in the drinking through and saw that there was only a bit of water left in the bottom. I sighed. I guess I should go out to the well and bring over a few buckets of water, I said. I loved all of our sheep, especially Bessie and Molly, but hauling water to the through was one of my least favorite chores. The crank on our well was stuck. The water was heavy, and somehow I always managed to soak myself with the waves that sloshed out of the top of the bucket. I looked towards the throw again. Maybe I can wait a little longer. I looked at Bessie and Molly. I'm just going to go out riding for a bit. Then I'll come right back to fill up the throw. Wish me luck on my jumps. When, with another bleat for Bessie, I jogged off to their home stable. Chapter 2, The Big Jump. I crashed down and braced my legs against the saddle as my horse, Flash, tensed before leaping over a jump. My curly hair bounced over my shoulders and my stomach hit the ground running. I put on the inches, ring Flash in, and we fell into a slow trot. Yes, I cried, pumping my fist in the air. I pulled the entrance and turned Flash around. The new jumping fence that I built was made out of beams for an old tool shed that had taken down. It had to be at least a meter high, a new record for us. Dad would be so proud, I guess. I thought, I've been riding horses with Dad on the rocky trails around our station pretty much since I was in crawl. Mom wouldn't let me start jumping until I was older, and I'm finally starting to practice high jumps. When he was younger, my dad competed in show jumping competitions. He told me that in a year or so, if I kept practicing really hard, I'd probably be good enough to compete myself. Now, Dad was gone for a few weeks for a meeting for our Australian station orders. I really wanted to master his jump before he came back. I trotted Flash up a hill overlooking our station and stared at the outback around me. He feels like we're out in the wilderness, huh, Flash? Asked. The spot where I practice jumps with Flash is less than half a kilometer away from our house, but looking at the rusty orange land in front of me made me feel like it was worlds away in the distance. Two kangaroos hopped toward a watering hole. Oh, good thing Dad's not here, I said. Dad hates the way the kangaroos always get into things onto the station and make a mess. But I think it's fun to watch the kangaroos jumping around. As they hopped out of sight, I watched the bright red sun slipping towards the horizon. I love sunset, I said. Wait, sunset? What time is it? I turned Flash around and looked at the sheep's shed. Oh no, I grumbled. I squeezed Flash's sides and galloped back towards the shed. Chapter 3, No More Practice. I hopped off Flash and wrapped his ears around a post. I jogged over the well and filled a bucket. Water sloshed all over my arms as I lifted the bucket up and carried it to the door of the shed. Darn, Mom was already there, holding my new baby brother, Andrew, and petting Bessie. I didn't need to look at the through to know that I've been late to get Bessie's water, and Mom had come to do it for me. Slowly, I let the bucket slide down the floor. Emily, Mom began. Are you all right? Mom's eyebrow was raised into a pointy arch. I knew that look. I was in big trouble. I'm fine, I said. I just lost track of time. Mom sighed. Emily, that's not a good excuse. You can't leave the sheep without water, she said, pointing to their through. Everyone on this station has chores to do. When your dad's away, he and I need extra help from you, especially now that I'm also taking care of Angel. Your irresponsibility has got to stop. Irresponsible? That's a word that I'd come to know well. I love writing Flash so much that sometimes I push everything else aside. I could feel my cheeks get redder than they already were. I looked down towards the ground. I'm sorry, I said. I just got wrapped up in my jumping. I can't believe I let Bessie and Molly down. I knew it's easy to get caught up in writing and jumping, Mom said, but these chores are important. It's okay for you to go out riding in the afternoon, but you have to make sure you're back before the sheep are out of water. I felt tears welling up in my eyes, and Mom sighed. You know how much Andrew depends on me. Bessie and her new baby lamb depend on you to keep them strong and healthy in the same way. Until you can show me that you're responsible enough to take your chores seriously and bring water to the sheep every day, no more riding Flash. I wanted to argue, but I knew Mom was right. I couldn't believe that my stupid mistake was going to cost me my afternoons of horseback riding. Right when Flash and I were getting really good at our neat jump, Mom touched my shoulder and changed the subject. Come on, Mom said. Bring Flash back to the stables and wipe him down. We should get you out of those dirty riding clothes before dinner. We're going over to Pete and Sarah's house. Pete and Sarah's? I said, starting to smile. At least it wouldn't be an entirely bad day. I always had fun at Pete and Sarah's house. Chapter 4. A Trip to Pete's and Sarah's. Pete and Sarah were our closest neighbors, even though they lived over a kilometer away. They had just moved to the Outback a few months ago, after Pete retired. He used to work for a company in Sydney, Australia's biggest city. I had seen pictures of Sydney's famous opera house, and I thought it looked like a neat place to visit. I wonder what it would be like to take Flash through those streets. Maybe we could jump over some city park benches. Mom and I each held a flashlight to guide us through the evening darkness. I pushed Andrew's shoulder up the gravel drive leading to Pete and Sarah's house. When we got close, Mom knew what I was thinking even before I asked her. You go ahead, I'll bring up Andrew's stroller, I grinned, and ran up to the kitchen door, jerked it open, and came up behind Sarah to give her a big hug. Goodness, who is that behind me? She said. You almost made me drop the bread basket. Sarah turned and kissed me on the cheek. How beautiful you look, and that hair. I would have loved red hair like that when I was young. I did a little twirl for her. I knew Sarah was going to comment on my outfit. I put on one of my best dresses to come to dinner and turned my hair back in a bow. Sarah was wearing a dress too, as usual, and her Australian opal necklace sparkled under the kitchen lights. You look like a proper little lady, Sarah said. If only you looked like this way all the time. She didn't wear like the red ragtag clothing you call your riding gear. Jeans and t-shirt are the most comfortable clothes for jumping, I said. And I do like to wear fancy dresses sometimes. Maybe I'd wear them all the time if I could do jumps with them in them. Sarah chuckled as she bustled over in the door. Let me go help your mother with the stroller, Sarah said. Just as Pete came in the kitchen. Good day, Miss Emily, he bellowed. "What have you got to show me today?" I hugged Pete under his waist and began pointing out all of my new scrapes and bruises. "I got this one from skidding against some bark, and I steered Flash too close to a tree," I said, sticking my elbow up towards him. "And this one is from a rock by the lake," I said, pointing to my knee. "And what about that one?" Pete asked, pointing to my bruised thumb. "Oh," I said, feeling my cheeks got hot and pink. "That's from when I was using a hammer and nails to build a new jump. I missed the nail." "Anya," Pete said, laughing. "Great job. Those are some serious battle scars. Who would ever guess this little lady would be working on such fierce horse jumps?" "Yup, I landed a big jump perfectly today." "That's my girl," Pete said. "But I'm in trouble, Pete," I said, lowering my voice. "I stayed out with Flash too late today and forgot to fill the sleeps through. Mom isn't going to let me out to practice in the afternoons anymore." Before I could say more, Mom and Andrew came in and Sarah hustled us all to sit down at the table. Chapter 5, An Alarming Experience. After dinner, Sarah shooed Pete and me out of the kitchen so she and Mom could chat and have tea. I didn't mind. That meant Pete and I could head out to his shed. That's where Pete keeps all his gadgets. Sometimes when he's around in the shed, he'll let me take apart one of the old radios he has or make sculptures out of coils of metal wire lying around. "What are you working on now, Pete?" I asked. Pete patted the rusty green frame of a lawnmower. "Well, this old lawnmower is clapped out. I've got to fix up the engine so I can cut the grass over at Sarah's garden." I hopped on a stool next to Pete and told him all about the new jump I just practiced. I could tell he was listening. Even as he hammered, unscrewed, and cleaned different parts of the lawnmower, and then we rolled up to the jump, I said so fast that I thought Flash was going to run right into it instead of over it, and beep, 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 beep. Pete laughed as I whipped around towards the noise and almost fell off my stool. When I turned, I noticed the light above the shed door was flashing. "What was going on?" I asked. "That's one of my newest technologies," Pete said. Sarah was complaining that when she would yell out to the shed to tell me the lunch was ready, I wouldn't hear her sometimes. I'd be running one of my tools that makes a lot of noise. And, well, my old ears aren't exactly what they used to be. Sometimes I just plain didn't hear her calling. I realized I needed something or process in technology to help me solve the problem. So I rigged up a buzzer system. When Sarah wants me to come in, she can press the button. I wire it up in the kitchen. Then the buzzer sounds and light flashes in the shed. I can see the bright blinking even if I'm using a loud tool. But I don't hear the buzzer. It keeps me out of trouble with Sarah, he said with a wink. Maybe I need one too. I wish I had something to keep me out of trouble, I said. I thought. An alarm to keep me out of trouble. What an idea. Hey, Pete, what if I had an alarm to tell me when the sheep's water throw is low? You can see the shed from almost everywhere around the horse stables. I'd definitely see a flashing light, and if I were close enough, I'd hear the buzzer. Could you help me make an alarm? You're always one to present a challenge, Emily, Pete said. I think we could work on one together. The tricky part will be figuring out a way to make sure the alarm is safe. Water conducts electricity. That means electricity can pass through it and give you a shock or worse. Have you ever noticed a warning label on some electronics that shows a triangle with a jagged arrow through it? That's to warn you about danger and electrocution if you use them near the water, he said. I nodded. So this is a bad idea, I said. No, Pete said. Well, we'll just have to be extra careful. The fact that water conducts electricity is one of the pieces of the puzzle. Some materials are conductors and others aren't. We can use the knowledge to help us if we use a material that is in conductor to keep the water and the electricity separate. That will prevent anyone from getting hurt. Don't worry, he'll work it out. If in the machine, maybe you can find some materials to help us get started. Where should I look? I asked. If you just take apart some of the junk I have around. Here, you'll find lots of things you could use, Pete said. Old radios and other electronics have lots of wires and switches inside. Pete, I asked, how do you know how to make all these things? I used to create all sorts of neat things like that for my job before I retired, Pete said. I was an electrical engineer. That's someone who uses what they know about science, math, and creativity to solve problems involving electricity. I worked on all sorts of interesting projects, like helping to create hearing aids for tiny babies and working on devices that help to track whales by the sounds of they make. Pete, that's great, I cried. Pete chuckled. It was a lot of fun, but that's enough about me. Sarah and your mom are probably wondering where we are. Come on. Chapter 6. Convincing Mom. As I walked home next to Mom and Andrew's stroller, I told Mom about my plan to build an alarm to let me know when the sheep needed water. This way, when I was riding Flash and practicing my jumps, I'll have a system to let me know when I should come back. I glanced up at her, trying to guess what she was thinking. What do you say? Mom walked in silence for a few moments. I think this sounds like a good idea, Emily, said Mom. I'm glad you're taking this problem seriously and trying to come up with a solution. If you can get an alarm up working and show me that it will help you do your chores on time, you can start jumping before dinner again. Mom paused for a moment and smiled. With all the handiwork you do to build jumps. For Flash, I have no doubt you'll be able to build an alarm system. I was so excited that Mom liked my alarm idea. I couldn't wait to see Pete again so we could get started. Chapter 7, Engineering with Electricity. All right, Pete, I said, rushing into his shed. I'm ready to tear open a radio and get this alarm set up. Easy there, Chillaroo, Pete said. Before we start tearing things apart, I think we need to come up with a plan and get some biscuits. Here, Sarah made a batch of batch just for your visit. I took a bite of biscuit and chewed for a few moments. Why do we need a plan? I asked. Can't we just figure things out as we go along? Sometimes you can, said Pete. But when I was working as an engineer, there were steps that we could follow whenever we were trying to solve problems. We called the steps the engineering design process. Yay! And since you're about to work on your very first electrical engineering problem, it might be a good idea for us to try using the process. Come take a seat over here and give me a better idea of what we're trying to design. I sat down next to Pete by his workbench. The first step of the engineering process is ask some good questions, said Pete. Do you want this alarm to go off at a certain time of day? Or just when the sheep's water through is getting low? I said. I guess I just wanted to let me know when the water is low. If I'm out of riding and I'm practicing a new jump, I don't want to have to stop just because it's a certain time. I'd rather wait till I'm ready really need to go to the shed. Sounds good to me, said Pete. Do you know where you want the light and the buzzer to go? I pictured the way the shed looked from the stables. Maybe the light could go on the top of the shed, and the buzzer could go on the back of the shed, facing away from the house. That way it won't be too loud for the sheep or for Andrew. We went on like that for almost the whole morning. Pete had me imagine a few different setups or designs for the alarm system. Then he had me draw a plan. Let me show you the plan that I did for my alarm system, Pete said. Electrical engineers call plans like these schematic diagrams. He rummaged through a cabinet next to the workbench and pulled out a piece of paper with some lines and pictures on it. How could this be your plan? I mean schematic diagram, I asked. I don't see the light or the buzzer on it. Ah, but they are here. I just use symbols, Pete explained. You see, electrical engineers and other people who work with electricity know that the symbol for a light looks like a circle with a swirl through it. The wires that connect everything are the lines in between the pictures. And the space here looks like a door swinging open. That's the switch that does the loop and makes the light and buzzer go off. It completes the system or what we call the circuit. Using these symbols is kind of the speaking a language. The symbols allow us to communicate easily with one another. So altogether, everything that you've drawn here symbolizes a circuit, I asked. Exactly, Pete said. Now why don't you try making a schematic diagram of your own? Then once we have that all set, we can move on the next step of the engineering design process, creating. Chapter 8, Completing the Circuit. The next day, after I had a schematic diagram drawn, Pete helped me put together a miniature model to test my circuit. After everything was wired, he gave me a thumbs up sign, letting me know it was okay to flip the switch to test the alarm. Beep, beep, beep. The buzzer was working, but the light wasn't. Pete, I said, what's wrong? It looks like we may need to fix this wiring, he said. What do you mean? I asked. I connected the wire to the light bulb. What else matters? Well, electricity isn't something magical that will light up a bulb just like because it's nearby, Pete explained. To wire the circuit correctly, you need to make it so the electrical current can flow into the bulb at one point and out the bulb at another point. There have to be two points of the contact to complete the circuit. I'll show you. Pete took the one wire that I wrapped around the light bulb and connected it to one side of the bulb's base. Then he used another wire to connect the bottom of the bulb to the battery. Ta-da! He asked. He said, let there be light. I see how that works, I said. So that's how all the lights in your house work, too. Yes, it is very similar, he said. Except in the setup, we're using some batteries to get our electricity. The electricity in your house is powered by the generator you have in your backyard and the solar panels on top of your house. People who live in cities get electricity from power generation. It travels from the plant through wires right into their houses. No matter how different the sources might look, they are all generate electrical energy. That's pretty cool, I said. I didn't realize there were so many different ways to generate electricity. Pete, I worked for the whole weekend to put my alarm system together. We even came up with a nifty switch made out of a wooden lever. Since wood doesn't conduct electricity, the circuit was safe for me and for the sheep. One end of the lever held the through, and we attached a piece of metal to the other end. When the through was full, the weight of the water held the switch open. But when the water level was low, the lever would sing down to complete the circuit. Then the light would flash and the buzzer would buzz. I couldn't wait to show my alarm to everyone. Chapter 9, By Jingles. Monday morning, I heard voices in the kitchen when I woke up dead. I flew out of bed and into the kitchen. Dad said, did you miss me? I'm holding Andrew in one arm. He wrapped the other around me, giving me a hug and a kiss. Of course, but I designed something really special while you were gone that I want you and Mom to come see. I led Mom and Dad out to the shed. Now pretend the sheep have drunk almost all their water. The through will get lighter and it will close the its switch. I began scooping water out of the through with a bucket to demonstrate. Beep, beep, beep. We heard the buzzer out on the side of the barn ringing, and there's a light on top of the barn that flashes too. Dad's mouth dropped open and Mom smiled broadly. Even Bessie and Molly seemed interested, poking their muzzles around the new through. By jingles, Dad said, Mom told me you had a solution to make sure you're on time to do your chores. But I never imagined anything like this. How did you ever put this together? Pete helped me, I said. He taught me all about electricity and designing things. You really did think of everything, said Mom. But I guess I shouldn't be too surprised. When it comes to jumping and riding, you're very persistent. I do love jumping with Flash, I said. But really, I did this for Molly. Oof! I felt a push from behind and turned to see Bessie prodding me with her nose. Okay, and for you too, Bessie, I said, giggling.
We hope you enjoyed
our production of
This Engineering is an Elementary Story.